The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Sam Garrett is the chief executive of Great Southern Copper. The company has released news this morning about RC drilling in Chile. So good to see you, Sam. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks, Alistair. Nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, nice to talk to you too. So let's kick it off with this RC drilling that you're undertaking before we broaden it out into the wider context. What's it all about?
Yes, we're into our third drill target within our broader sort of Scout RC drilling program, which is designed to test alteration targets around the margin of our large sort of lithocap project. And Victoria, where we've just started in particular, is interesting because it includes not only porphyry style alteration, but it also includes high grade vein breccia type mineralization, which isn't uncommon in these big porphyry systems. And in our crop at Victoria, we see, you know, copper grades up to 6.9%, with gold up to 4.5 grams per ton gold, and silver up to sort of over 85 ppm. So they're worthy targets, and we're looking forward to getting stuck in there.
So good attractive grades you mention. How much RC are you actually doing in this program?
Well, this is our third of about 4 to 6 targets that we're going to be testing. Here at Victoria, we'll be drilling probably 4 to 6 holes for a total of 1,000 metres of RC drilling.
And for those who aren't initiated in your activities, why is it RC as opposed to diamond or any other type of drilling?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And the reason is that we're using RC in this particular locations because we don't have a very good handle on the geology for various reasons, and a lot of that's to do with cover. And this RC gives us a very efficient test, so we can drill, you know, 1,000 metres of RC for close to $125,000, which is very cheap relative to diamond drilling, which costs about $275 a metre. So we're using the RC a bit like a sort of a geochem tool, if you like, but it gives us a very efficient and rapid test. That's the other point of it. You know, you get the drilling done very quickly, and as a result, we get the results back quickly. So, you know, last year we deployed this method very effectively at Vayuda, which basically resulted in a discovery there. So, you know, we're very keen to deploy this method across the whole sort of project area.
So talking about rapid results then, what sort of turnaround do you expect?
We finished the Piedras Blancas drilling maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago. So, you know, I would hope to be seeing results from that within the next sort of 2 to 3 weeks. So the results from this drilling, you know, will take 4 to 6 weeks. So it's a lot faster than the diamond drilling where the core has to be processed by geologists and then cut in half and resampled and relogged and then sent away. So, you know, which overall could take up to 3 months. So this is a much faster test for us.
And what will success look like? What will you be looking for in the results?
Also a very good question. Here we're testing very large scale, broad alteration systems. So if we can see evidence that the alteration we see at surface is actually porphyry related phyllic alteration, and that means it's sericite, quartz, pyrite alteration, and not just sort of a supergene weathering effect. So at surface, those two things look very similar and you almost can't tell the difference. And so that's why we're excited about what we found at Piedras Blancas, was that we did get phyllic alteration, and in fact, the whole zone down into potassic alteration, which tells you that you are in a porphyry type system. So the results have been very encouraging to date.
I mean, porphyry systems are very rich when they come good, aren't they? So the stakes are pretty high.
They they not necessarily rich. I mean, if you get one up about around a percent copper, that's very, very lucky. But you know, they're usually in, and if you get one at 0.2 to 0.3, you know, you get that difficult decision of whether to go on or not. So the sweet spot is about 0.5 to 0.6% copper. And if you get gold with that, that's good. But where we benefit Alistair is that our project is near the coast, and it's not at high altitude like most of the projects in the Andes. So we can probably afford to have, you know, a lower cutoff grade than most projects might enjoy. And if we're also near the surface, that's another bonus. So, you know, we're not going to have to sort of dig down 1,000 meters to get to the top of this thing. So all those things are important in deciding whether, you know, these are going to be viable projects.
You mentioned gold there. Is that a likely prospect in this instance?
Well, we think so. In Victoria, we're seeing high-grade gold associated with these veins. So if we start seeing bornite mineralization, so getting back to your question about what does success look like, if we start seeing mineralization, and we don't necessarily have to see a lot of it, then we at least we know, you know, we're in the ballpark. And the idea with these big systems is we've got to use what we can to vector us towards that high-grade core, that potassic core. And a lot of that comes from the alteration that we'll see in the holes and at surface, where we're basically targeting the vent systems of these porphyries, where hot acidic fluids are venting off the porphyry, so to speak, and coming to the surface. So we're looking for alteration products that are indicative of hot acidic fluids.
So it's well known that porphyries can come in clusters. We've sort of been jumping or alluding to that a little bit in the conversation already. So tell us a little bit about the sort of wider Great Southern Copper play here, what you guys are up to and how it all fits together.
Yeah, that's exactly true. They come in clusters and they come in trends, and both are very important. So clusters are sort of, you know, two or three porphyries next to each other, and a trend might be, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 along a much broader structural lineament. And the Specularita lithocap target is a giant of a lithocap. You know, it's over 75 square kilometres in area. So for your average porphyry copper that's 1 square kilometre, you can hide a lot of porphyry copper deposits underneath that, potentially. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily make our job easier, because interacting and overprinting alteration systems can be distracting in places. But yeah, so what usually happens is around the margins of an individual caldera, you'll get porphyry deposits coming up, like fingers or udders on a cow, for example. But the other more significant opportunity that we see presenting itself at Specularita is that we see a Specularita as part of a very large and emerging copper trend, where a Specularita sits on a southeast trending lineament that links the project to very large copper mines and projects such as Los Pelambres, which is about 25 million tons of copper, El Pachon, which is, you know, very similar in size, as well as the sort of newly discovered Altar project, which is, you know, up around 16, 17 million tons of copper. So all those projects are a long trend of us. So that's what makes this target, the Specularita, particularly exciting, because it's never seen a drill hole up to now. Watch this space.
Yeah, watch this space indeed. So would it be fair to say then in the Canadian jargon that you guys have got a district scale play here then?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair thing to say. And what is crucial about the coastal metallogenic belt where we operate is that you actually have deposit type optionality. So not only do we sit on that southeast porphyry trend, we also sit on a north-south IOCG trend. And so we have the potential for the two deposit types to interact. And we do see that on site. We are seeing IOCG style mineralization. And we're also seeing intrusive related copper gold mineralization. So we believe we've got three types of mineralization within our project portfolio area.
So your geological team has really got its work cut out to work out what's going on there then?
Everyone's very busy, Alistair. We've got a big project planned, drilling project planned for this year. We'll be drilling at least minimum of six targets, including our high-grade Mostasa discovery, which is still to come. But, yeah, we've got a lot going on.
So at what point does a prospective copper porphyry become a established discovery then? You guys are kind of somewhat expert in this process. How's it looking as far as what you've got on the ground go?
That is a really good question also. And I guess it's all about economies of scale, where how close is the project to the surface, what size it is and what grade it is. But I think if you could get four drill holes into it with consistent what you might think are mineable grades, then you're off and running. That'll get you really started. At Viuda Negra, for example, we've got two holes into what we think is the margins of a porphyry gold system. So we're going to be doing some more drilling there later in the year to try and flesh that out a bit further. Our team are currently sort of exploring at the surface, taking more surface samples. We've just finished a mag survey there, so we're vectoring towards what we think might be the better part of the system. So it takes quite a bit of work, and you can't really rush it. But we're definitely getting there. We're on the right track.
So how many targets have you got in total then, and how many are you drilling?
We're in the process of drilling. Victoria is our third Scout RC drill target out of four targets we have lined up for this particular program. I think by the time the program ends, we will probably turn that from four to six. And then we've got Mostasa, our high-grade copper-silver discovery. We'll be drilling on that later in the year, and we'll be drilling at Viuda soon as well. So that's what's that? That's eight targets. We're going to be drilling at Breccia Amarilla before too long. That's an IOCG target with this sort of copper sticking up into the ground behind me that's never been drilled before. And that's a really exciting project. And we're going to be drilling hopefully within the lithocap itself. So look, on and on it goes. I mean, we're sort of blessed with an abundance of targets, and that's a reflection of how much work we've put in to put this project together in a particularly attractive and underexplored part of Chile.
On and on it goes indeed. Let's look into the future a little bit then. Where do you expect Great Southern Copper to be in, at the end of the year or in 12 months' time? You've been outlining all this work you're going to do. So you're going to have a lot of information to process, and then you're going to have to think about next steps. So what does that all involve?
Yes, I know. It's, we've got so much going on that sometimes, I like to joke that I lose track of myself, and obviously I don't, but it does require a lot of strategic planning because, we have to get permitting and all these sort of things lined up for these drill projects, and that can take some time, and we have to get community support and all those things. So we've got a very good team in the background working through all of that. So in terms of I guess this time last year we had just discovered Mostasa, and we were running around 1.1 to 1.2 P, I guess. So in the last 12 months, we've probably increased our market cap three times. I think we've We've been hampered a bit in the market lately by warrant selling. And I think once we clear that, which is early July, we should start to see hopefully some better improvement in the share price as, you know, as news gets released around the drilling and our future plans. So, you know, I'd like to think that, well, you know, we also had that Greenwood note go out recently that which valued us today at, you know, 5 to 10p. So, you know, that's what those guys think of us. And they put out quite a comprehensive report on the company. So, you know, I do feel that in the next 12 to 24 months we'll be sitting in a much better position.
Yeah, it's good to hear that. So what can investors expect in terms of you guys and resource numbers? Do you have any sort of timetable for that kind of thing?
We're going to have some metallurgical numbers out soon, I hope, which will then feed into resource numbers. We're planning our phase four drilling at Mostaza Cerro Negro. That project continues to grow, and that can affect the timing of a resource. And we have to make a decision, you know, do we want to put out a smaller resource and get started on that, or do we want to make the resource big? All those things come into the decision-making process for the board along the way. But, you know, the important thing is we've got a definite discovery there. It's high-grade copper and silver, and it's growing. So I probably can't put a date on when we'll have a resource out, but we're well down the track now.
So before we close, Sam, a quick word about Chile. I think the last time we spoke, I offered you a ham-fisted question about only majors are able to be successful in Chile, and you sort of effectively refuted my framing of that question. So just remind us about you know, how you guys are finding Chile as a place and a jurisdiction in which to operate.
We haven't had any problems whatsoever. You know, we have specifically targeted this coastal belt as a region for us to operate because, you know, for junior companies which are sort of limited in their sort of cash position, it's a lot cheaper. You know, if you're going to explore in the high Andes, which is, you know, anything above, you know, 3,500 to 5,000 meters, you need deep pockets. And that's fine if you've got a good project, but if you haven't got that yet and you're in the business of finding it, then it can be hellishly expensive. So down where we are, you know, we know we're in our wheelhouse where we can be very successful. I believe from what I've seen, the coastal metallogenic belt is underexplored, particularly in the district that we're in. As you go north towards Antofagasta, it's not quite the same. It's a well-trodden path with lots of IOCG style mineralization there. That's where Murrimucca and all these companies are being very successful. So that Murrimucca is a good example for you. You know, a company that started small and has grown to be very big now. You know, plus billion-dollar proposition. So, you know, it does happen, we are certainly working very hard to make sure that we're one of the ones that it might happen to also.
Yeah, let's keep our fingers crossed for that. So tell us why it is so underexplored where you are then.
Yeah, that's a question I can't really explain, other than the fact that I think the discovery of the big porphyries up in the Andes just sucked a lot of excitement and interest up into that area, and then these areas just got forgotten. And I've seen that, you know, all over the world. It happens quite regularly, but we have plenty of geological evidence to indicate that the big mines are available to explorers in that coastal belt. Andacollo, for example, is a huge porphyry copper and gold mine, and that's 90 kilometers to the north of us in the exact same geological setting at the same elevation, which is very important in our context. So, you know, it's just a happy circumstance for us. You know, we're happy to take it. We put a lot of effort over the last 6 to 8 years to build up our portfolio there. So we have a consistent project where we actually control, you know, 90 to 95% of that lithocap. That's quite something.
Indeed. And, I mean, you mentioned some of the big name players in Chile earlier in the conversation. So I suppose it goes without saying that if you do discover something big, then the country of Chile has got some experience in hosting big mine developments. So you're in the right area for that too.
Oh, absolutely. Everything's here. All the mining infrastructure and services is here to support anyone getting started. In fact, you know, we have Pucobre just down the road are starting their development. That's one of the, you know, the projects in our wheelhouse where, you know, we described that Especularita is within a 50-kilometre radius of 85 million tonnes of contained copper. You don't get that very often. And Pucobre, their Pucobre discovery and now their development is one of those. It's a smaller one. It's a smaller IOCG-type deposit, but they're going to make good money out of it, so more power to them. You know, this is an opportunity that I'm very excited to be a part of.
Yeah, indeed, lots to play for them. So to close us out, Sam, perhaps you could just summarise for us some of what you've been saying in terms of the news flow to come from the company, because it's going to be quite a busy time, isn't it? What have we got coming up in bullet point form?
Bullet point form. Well, we've got the results of all this RC drilling. That's first bullet point. We've got the results of the AMT geophysics survey, which is currently going on across the western half of the lithocap. That will feed into results for the soil geochemistry and ASD sampling that we're doing across the lithocap at the moment. And together those two will feed into an announcement around the start of drilling, hopefully. They will define targets within the lithocap. We are going to have infill IP surveys at Cerro Negro Mostaza, following up that successful survey we did last year, which focused our phase three drilling. And then that will feed into the start of phase four drilling at Cerro Negro Mostaza. We will be starting drilling at Viuda Negra, following up those fantastic gold results that we got in the diamond drilling last year. And that's going to be diamond drilling. We will also do some RC drilling there, but the diamond drilling, obviously the results will take a little bit longer to feed back in. But all the while, you know, the RC results will be coming in. So, you know, when you lay it all out like that, there's a lot of, you know, results for our shareholders and our stakeholders to look forward to.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to it too, Sam. We wish you all the best with all your programs on the ground there in Chile. And for now, thanks very much for talking to us. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, Alistair. I look forward to that as well.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.